Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hanna Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock, the Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hits från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rock.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am super excited for tonight's show. We've got a fantastic, they're cool, turned up to 10, the band we have. I'm so happy to have them on. I got, how I saw them, as longtime listeners of the show know, we work a lot with Curtain Call Records and other PR companies and whatnot, but we do a lot with Curtain Call, and they have a diverse stable of acts and bands and whatnot. They send out a thing every so often, and I saw it. It was Voltaire's Ghost. It was the name of the band, and they're from Colorado, and I watched the video that was with that, and I'm like, holy moly, I got to get a hold of them. And my contact over there with the fine folks at Curtain Call is Brian. So I messaged Brian, and I'm like, Brian, we got to get these guys on the show. What the hell do we got to do? And he goes, oh, no, I was going to send them over to you tomorrow. Anyway, you're reading my mind. I'm like, okay, cool. Next thing you know, here we are. Voltaire's Ghost. It's one of those. Let me tell you guys. No, I know I'm a retired club rat, but I'll tell you, this has been a problem in the goth and industrial and some call it Western goth. There's so many subgenres of that dark music scene. But one of the problems is there's not a lot of new blood in it. You take your gal out, you're still dancing to Front 242, and that's great. But I think Headhunter came out in 83 or something. It's a great track, don't get me wrong. I've listened to that many times. But there's not a lot of fresh stuff in that genre. And so when something new and really good comes along, I'm impressed. And I was with this band. And we're going to go around here. First off, lead vocalist, and I think he also plays guitar, if memory serves, Magnus. He's the fellow with the cap and the glasses there, everybody. That's Magnus. Hey. Next to him. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show. Joshua, we have drums on drums. And then Finn on the synth and keys. He's a madman. He's wild and new to the band, Magnus was telling us before, or telling me before we, what do they say in the biz? I'm so such a professional at this. It's so obvious. I was going to say on mic, but I guess it's on camera is the proper term that all these YouTube guys do. And yeah, so it's pretty cool. Also, we have, may or may not have Ruby joining us. She's one of the vocalists in the band as well.
She's the lead vocalist, and we'll miss her tonight. But she sends her regrets.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, she's great. She is fantastic. Set of pipes on her is phenomenal. As I was telling you guys before we went on the air, growing up, I hung out with musicians. They always knew them. Those guys knew all the girls, so that's why I was hanging out with them. Had the best parties and stuff. But I picked a few things up just hanging out with these guys and gals is usually bands will coalesce. They will form from other bands. Somebody's trying to do something, got a project going on. And they said, man, Josh, did you see Joshua on drums? I know he's in 52 different other bands, but we got to get him. And is that kind of how you guys all came together from knowing each other in the local scene and whatnot?
No, not at all. Came together really fast. We had never met each other at all. I had a recording date in Nashville set and a handful of songs. This is in fall of 2023. I just didn't have a band. Okay. And so I had to find a band before January. This was October or so. And Josh was my niece's drum teacher. That's how I met him.
Wow.
I picked her up from her class in time and met Josh. And I'm like, hey, dude, do you want to go to Nashville and make a record? And then we met Ruby with putting up flyers around campus looking for a lead singer, and she was the first one to answer. And Finn is an old friend of Ruby's and just has recently come to the band, but we've known him a long time. Old school, word of mouth and flyers around campus, that sort of thing. But no, we didn't really know each other before.
That's awesome. Because you guys are really, I don't know what the word is, tight. You're a tight band, but it looks like you guys have been playing for 17 years together or something. You know what I mean? For at least I'm hearing it. I totally get this. I'm hearing the end result of polishing. You know what I mean? You guys have been through it, the stuff I've seen, and it's so good. It is so good. Just very cool. Now, Magnus, have you always been a weirdo? You always been dressing in black, and that was...
Came out of the womb that way, dressed in black,
gotcha.
Little eyeliner.
I gotcha. I get it. Shit, man, I went to art school. That was the uniform of the day. I got to art school. I'm like,
we have
to wear uniforms? And they're like, no, but that's what it is. Get ready. And yeah, it's a crazy scene. One of the things that I like about the goth scene is it's very diverse. There's all kinds of different stuff, and you're going to see all different types of music influence and whatnot. But it's always very intelligent, it seems, and refined in whatever it's trying to do, whatever form it's trying to take. And you don't see that necessarily in other genres. I've always been a fan, And don't get me wrong, folks, I listen to all kinds of music and stuff. I like both kinds of music, country and Western. For anybody who knows where that joke's from. But yeah, it's a cool scene. Now, you had a recording date set in Nashville. Number one, that's a hell of a drive if you were driving it, man. I imagine you were flying out there.
Yeah.
But that's pretty exciting in it unto itself. That's cool. Obviously, you had a studio out there that was interested in what you were doing and ready to go to work with you on it.
I had a producer from Nashville reach out to me on Instagram after I put out some singles. This is before I met Josh, Ruby, and Finn. Put out some singles under Voltaire's Ghost just on my own that I'd recorded on my own, hired different musicians, and got a message from one Dean Miller from Nashville, and he said, I really love the songwriting, would love to work with you. And I'm ashamed to say I didn't recognize the name.
Okay.
Roger Miller, country legend, that's his son, and he's an award-winning producer in his own right.
And, absolutely. You're talking to royalty there.
I'm ashamed that I didn't realize it at first, and he said, come to Nashville, I'd love to make a record with you. And I was like, man, I just don't have a band. And he goes, I'll put something together for you here. And I said, no, I'd really rather find a band and bring him down. And that's what we did. And a couple of weeks after meeting Josh and Ruby, we were winging our way to Nashville. We landed in Nashville in the middle of a blizzard. It was the last flight in before the city shut down. Spent the next 3 days at Sound Emporium Studios, where Alison Krauss and Robert Plant had just recorded. The Smashing Pumpkins had just recorded. There's all these gold records on the wall. Right, Josh?
Right.
It's crazy.
Jesus. Well, it just goes to show. I know people, especially old people like me, bitch a lot about social media, and they're like, oh, it's just people fighting, or blah, blah, I found out my aunt's racist. Yeah, that's all true. We've all been disappointed like that or had heard crazy stuff about social media. The cool thing is, now you guys are all in Colorado right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here having a conversation face to face, shooting the shit. And it's happening in real time. That's pretty cool, I think. There's some cool stuff happening with the internet and social media and everything. Look at your story. How cool is that? That's going to be like one of those music legends. People are like, no, that's not how Voltaire years ago, Scott. No, it is. Watch this podcast and see it really happened that way. It's amazing.
It came together so fast. Josh had to ask my niece if I was really a serial killer, if he should really go to Nashville with me.
Well, Josh is cute. Maybe he thought you were just hitting on him or something. It's like, it is music Nashville, right? It's not some weird place in northern Michigan. They just call Nashville. No, Josh, it's all good. And Josh, how about that? There you go.
I didn't know you had a backup plan, Josh.
You guys, I'm telling you, I shouldn't say the story anymore. I knew a gal. I have never looked for the... I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I paint pictures of people for a living. I tell people I've never looked for the artist's life, but many times in my life it has found me, hit me in the back of the head. I remember being in Cincinnati. There was some gal, and things went horribly awry when I was there. And by horribly awry, brought her mama over to meet me, and then they start talking about wedding stuff. Me and this gal had been hanging out maybe, I don't know, a week. It was way, and I was pretty young, it was way too quick of a thing. I went to go get a pack of smokes at the corner gas station, called my father and said, Dad, and I had not lived at home in, I don't know, 6 years. And he goes, where the hell are you at? I said, Cincinnati, I'm in a problem. He goes, is anybody hurt? And I'm like, no, nothing like that. But this gal's talking marriage and introduced me to her mama. What do I do? He goes, where are you at now? I'm like, this gas station at a payphone down the street. And he goes, okay, I'm 12 hours away. In 12 hours, give me the address of that gas station and I will be there to pick you up. I suggest you leave quietly. And so, yeah, that's what I did. I left via a back door and got the hell out of Dodge. Man, that guy was pissed. He really wanted my hide on the wall. But it all worked out. She's happily married now, has children. She's where she's supposed to be. But yeah, that sounds like something like where you were, what was happening, Joshua. He just meets this guy. He's a drum teacher to this girl. And boom, he's in Nashville hanging out. In fancy recording, like you said, gold records on the wall, you know, all kinds of stuff. Daniel Milton, Jesus Christ, that's quite a thing. Finn, your head had to be spinning at all this as well.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't with this all from the beginning, but stuff always moves really fast with this band. And that's one thing that's really exciting. I got swept up in it in the past few months here, and I have not been disappointed by all the stuff that's happened.
We sucked him in. He came down to play bass on a couple of tracks on our new album and was really impressed with his piano player. Finn's a great musician, an all-around musician, and he's released his own music. And I was really impressed by the piano stuff and invited him to come on the road with us next month. So super excited.
Amazing. And who knows what'll happen. Yeah, we were on the road, and the next thing you know, we're hanging out with the Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails. It was amazing. Met him in a Denny's, and that is just stuff that I can see happening with this. Just crazy stuff that you would never imagine. Now, Magnus, is this your first band, or have you been involved with other bands in the past?
No, for the most part, I've always done my own music and under this name for a long time. There's been different lineups in the past, but this is the lineup that is the best, and I'm so excited about.
You.
It just all clicked so well, and there was a lot of songs that I had tried out with different people in the past. And Josh, man, I used to have drummers throw sticks at me because I write a lot of odd time signatures, right, and stop and start riffs. And man, Josh just always gets it. I just love playing with him. We lock in really tight. And Ruby's the same way. She's such a great lyricist. And she'll either have a lyric that fits like a glove or something I wrote, or vice versa. So once it clicked, it happened. Things started happening really fast. And maybe that's how it should be. When you find the right people, things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I read a biography a couple years ago. Somebody, and really, when it wasn't really that good of a biography in the fact, the mechanics of it, it was just a bunch of old interviews David Bowie had done, and they had compiled them in a book. And so, but I remember specifically somebody had asked Bowie, this man, every all these tracks, you have a history of just really knocking it out of the park. And he said, hold on. He goes, I appreciate that, but it's easy to win when you work with winners, when you're working with the right people, and to come out well. And I thought about every musician I've ever known, and that's really true, because there were some people, it was pretty bad, but they weren't the right group, weren't the right set. That is amazing. Everybody gets along okay? You guys don't have some weird, like, police-type stuff, like you're not fighting in the studio or any...
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hear that?
I mean,
Magnus isn't getting annoyed with Josh's hi-hat usage and all of that.
I'm embarrassed to say we get along really well. There's been no fistfights in the studio yet.
Yeah, we need more drama.
We really don't have a lot of drama internally. I think a part of it, Jamie, is things have moved so fast since we met. We don't really have time for that. We're on our second record. We toured 3 times last year, and this is we've only known each other a year, so we don't really have time for it, and we have so much work to do, and I think we all really like and respect each other too. It's I don't know how you feel, Josh and Finn, but it feels really comfortable when we're together, for me at least.
Yeah,
we'll find time for drama.
Yeah, we'll add that to the schedule.
It'll be those crazy fights you read about, like Journey or something. But wow, he wouldn't agree to sell the rights to Sony or blah, blah, blah for television commercial. It'll be some crazy thing like that. No, I'm sure that won't happen. It's very cool, though. My head is a whirl. I am just so happy and happily amazed for you guys. And not because of the quality of the music. Quality of the music's first rate. It's such a unique story. It doesn't normally go that way. You know what I mean?
That's what we're told. Someone said to me, he goes, we got invited to play the Whiskey our second time in California.
And, Jesus Christ, really?
Someone said to me, it doesn't usually happen this fast. I don't know what kind of deal you made or who you made it with.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We were talking before we came on the air about your guys' band and this and that. One of the things is... two times in California playing the Whiskey. That is unheard of. That is really unheard of. But we were talking about how you guys play out a lot, not just in the Western Slope, the Colorado area and whatnot. You guys are playing all over the place and traveling and going places and whatnot. Is there a good scene for that? Or are you guys going to where the scenes are? It sounds like.
We go where we're invited. We've been really lucky. We started getting invited to come out to California early last year. And to your point, Jamie, these are people who found us on Instagram, just like Dean Miller did. And in Southern California, there's so many smaller, medium-sized venues that are independently owned that have the flexibility to book who they want, when they want. In some cities like Denver, it's not quite like that. There's one or two big companies that kind of own everything. And so it's hard to break into. From California, Josh, I don't remember, we started getting invites to come to California almost immediately and headed out there for the first time in April. And every time we went back, we had more shows.
So cool. I did reach out to some people I know. No, I don't, I'm not big in the scene. Me and my wife been together 15 years now. We've been married since 2019, but I've been living in Florida for 15 years. Jesus Christ. I don't know how that was never planned, but nonetheless, here we are. But I still know a lot of people in the alternative music scene all over the place. And I even talked to a gal I know, Stephanie, Stefanica, or whatever she's calling herself these days. She's a good friend. She's in the Northern Mexico goth scene. And people are like, really? There's goths in northern Mexico? Yes, folks. The term is Mexigoths. And believe me, there's not just one or two. There are thousands and thousands. Maybe that's how they should be going to the border. All those cats should show up. That'd freak everybody out. Black nail varnish and lipstick and whatnot. And I'm talking to the guys. But yeah, it's a crazy scene. But you guys are big with that scene. Everybody, I mentioned Voltaire's Goat. And oh, yeah, they're fantastic. They're really going to blow up. And already blowing up, really, is what Stephanie said. And it's amazing. Now, what were you going to say?
It's so funny you say that. It's so funny you say that, Jimmy, because we just found out. I don't know if you heard, we found out officially Wednesday. Death Becomes You, which is our latest single, came out on Valentine's Day. It just entered the charts this week. We're number 120 on the Media Base Top 40 Radio.
Wow, that's unheard of for a goth band. Are you kidding me? Bauhaus ever did that. You know what I mean? That's amazing.
We're super excited.
Fantastic. Well, I will go to say, no, my wife's not quite as young as Fen looks, but, you know, she's a little younger than me. And we'll be in the car and she's listening to the Sirius radio and whatnot. I'm not as well versed in current popular music as she is. And every time I try to say the word Chapel Rowan, she yells at me, no, and because I'm mispronouncing it somehow, and corrects me on it. But that just, I'm an old man. That's my excuse. Two further thoughts on that. Number one, I'm old enough to see trends repeat. And I've seen that a lot. I'm like, this was cool the first time I heard it. 18 years ago. I don't say that with your band. I don't have that thought. It's not dated. It's fresh. It's new and it's exciting. And my other point with that is people, I don't know if it's because of streaming and people are single driven there, but man, I've listened to some people's playlists and stuff and they are not genre specific in the least. They go from listening to Voltaire's Ghost to, okay, now we're listening to a country. Oh, now we're at hip hop. It gives me whiplash trying to listen to some of these playlists, but they're not made for me. You know what? And it doesn't surprise me that they would embrace Death Becomes Her because, number one, it's a great track. It's a really cool track. And for those kids, yeah, they're going to eat that shit up, man. You hear it and you're like, yeah, that's, if that was a horse, I'd be betting on it, you know.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, that's got to be a good feeling. Magnus, I know that you've been doing this long enough to know there's nothing like people digging what you're doing as an artist. And
yeah,
it's got to be a feeling. That will get you out of bed in the morning is what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We're so excited. We're not expected, that's for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. That is fantastic. Let's play a track so people know what we're talking about. Now, I was looking at my sheet. Where is it at? Where's my sheet? We're going to be playing. They want us to play Death Becomes Her and The Christmas Prayer. What should we, and we can also play Glass if you want to. It's up to you. What should we play first?
Let's hear the charting single. Let's hear Death Becomes You.
Here it is, everybody. This is Voltaire's Ghost, Death Becomes You.
What you gonna do about my thirst? Oh, oh.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. That was Death Becomes You, Voltaire's Ghost. Now, we're hearing the finished track. It's been mastered. All this stuff's happened. There was some cat with a big board and lots of levers and buttons and every edit. We can't tell behind the scenes. How do I want to put when they finally post it or put it out for sale or whatever? And they're like, they look at it and they're like, oh, that's great. Look how talented he is. He just rolled out of bed this morning and knocked that out. It's amazing. And I always, because I feel with bands and musician friends that I have, I'm guilty of the same thing, because I hear a track like Death Becomes You and I'm like, man, that was amazing. What did he think of that in the shower? And then it just all, sent it to all the other folks in the band and they put their parts in it. And yeah, it's just a great track, right? It took a day to do. That usually isn't the case. With my art, sometimes they come easy and I celebrate that because it's such a rarity. It's wonderful. But oftentimes they come hard. I'm ready to burn the canvas, throw it in the street, jump up and down on it. It fights me. Some paintings I have painted 6 times because you just got to get it right. With Death Becomes Her, was that an easy one or was it a hard one? In its making it.
I would say a little bit of both. It was truly a team effort. I had that riff and that lyric for a long time and brought it to the band a couple weeks before we went to Nashville and worked on it, and Ruby came up with that amazing vocal melody in the chorus, and our then keyboard player Max came up with the piano part for the chorus. It really was a team effort. It was a much better song after we had all worked on it. So it was super exciting. And then when we recorded it, Josh in Nashville, we had been playing it for what, a month or so. We had just put the finishing touches on it a week or two before.
That's amazing.
So it was a race to the finish because we had this deadline, right? We had this recording session. So we were cobbling together 5 songs and it really was a team effort.
That's something, there's mythology and tropes, I guess is a better term, that people have. A lot of people not in the music business, they see movies like The Doors and stuff. And they think all these musicians just all hang out, hang around the studio, order pizzas, drink beer, and they're just hanging around till the muse strikes. And no, folks, when you go to a studio, it's like riding a cab. The thing goes down, the meter's running, you're paying by the second and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in your interest to have as much flushed out prior to that. Otherwise, the checks can get big. And that may have happened with The Doors, but there was a big record company writing them checks. It was a different deal. And you guys are signed up now with Curtain Call Records, which I've never heard a bad thing about. And I've been working with them. I started doing the show in 2013. I think we've been working with them since 2014, maybe 2015, right around there. But a long 10 years. But they aren't that type of record. It's a different world than what The Doors and The Beatles and everybody were doing back in the day. It's a little more sophisticated, and a lot relies on the band too to do as far as promotion and making those Instagram posts. And nobody at the record company is making TikToks. It's Ruby. It's all you guys. But she's a gal with a cell phone. Of course, she knows how to do that shit. I wouldn't know how to make a TikTok. I told my wife. I said, I think I need to get a TikTok channel, and she said, dear, that's done with a phone. You don't own a smartphone. You can't do it with your computer. I didn't know that. I'm an old man. I'm not cool, folks. I don't have a, it's true. I don't use a phone. My wife's got a phone. If somebody needs to get a hold of me, they can. But I got a voicemail. But not because I'm cool. It's because I'm old. My glasses had been missing for 2 weeks. They were in my backyard on the picnic table back there for 2 weeks. I got headaches watching TV all the time, stumbling around here like Mr. Magoo, because I set stuff down and lose it. I'm old. I don't trust me with a $1,000 phone. What ain't gonna happen? let alone making a TikTok. Are you crazy? But you guys are good with all that, and you're all over Instagram and whatnot. We have links, folks, in the description. All their social media, the website. It's a good website, even. My old ass can understand that website. Yeah, whoever designed that, buy them a cup of coffee next time you see them, because it's good. And it's not, and you guys are a weird goth band. It's not a weird goth, it's dark and everything. But I've had bands on the show, and I'm like, I couldn't find your music on your website. And they're like, you have to get the monkey to place the banana here. And I'm like,
oh my God.
No, dude, I don't want to do that. I just want to hear the music. Come on, baby. Work with me. Your guys' website's great. It's fantastic. That's cool. Now, Finn, you're hearing all these stories. You were not on the Nashville trip, right? You were acquired, assimilated into the collective here post the Nashville craziness.
Correct.
Did it blow your mind hearing all these stories, though? Or
I was privy to some of it from the start. I've been aware of Voltaire's Ghost since fall of 2023 when they were getting started, but it is a, like I said, things just move fast. It's just cool to hear that these guys get down to business and now getting to experience it myself.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's usually, and you guys obviously are professional. You know what you're doing. You're not just doing this to meet girls or whatever. You know what I mean? Like 99.9%
of the fans. Well, we don't want to not meet girls either, though.
I get you.
We don't refuse that either. I mean, let's be fair.
The good thing is I didn't see when Finn logged in, his girlfriend wasn't sitting beside him with all kinds of notes for the band. Joshua, you know what you really should do? Not listen to you until you're in the band. How about that? I've seen that play out with so many or different versions. Maybe it's a boyfriend of somebody. It doesn't matter. That you can see, you're like, yeah, you know where this is going to be in 6 months. Shit, at the rate you guys are going, you're going to be living in Tony Stark mansions in Malibu or something in 6 months. It's amazing. I can't predict. The music's fantastic. It speaks for itself. But it's just the story. Jesus, they're going to be making Netflix documentaries about you guys. You know? There was evil. Did you guys see that? Just for a second. Josh's evil twin joined
doppelganger.
His doppelganger, who plays the xylophone, by the way. No, it's now, Josh, I gotta ask you, as a drummer, you're in and a drum teacher, so obviously you know a little bit about drumming and whatnot. There's certain people that just got you going when you got into drumming. People you looked up to with that hi-hat. Oh, that's fantastic. How about you, Finn? No, Magda said you came in, did some bass work and whatnot, and everybody's like, yeah, great, they're fantastic, awesome. And you're like, my bass playing may be an 8 out of 10. Oh, is that a piano I see over there? Hold on. Did one of those deals. Knocked out some Bach or whatnot on the keys. What got you into music? Were you always the music guy growing up?
I wasn't for a long time. It wasn't until I was 15 was when I picked it up. And it was that moment where I went from not being the music guy to just completely consumed my life. I started playing bass first, and I've been a bassist. And that's my major instrument, along with keyboards, of course. And ever since then, I was the music guy, and all my friends would always come and talk to me. And, you know, throughout high school, if people needed help with some music theory stuff or figuring something out, people would come to me. So when I found it fit.
That's awesome. Now, Magnus, how about you? Were you always a music guy? We know you're brooding. You could have become a poet. Oh, see, there you go. I didn't know it.
I was a magician, actually. For most of my life, professional magician.
How cool is that?
So, not a stranger to showbiz, but I never wrote music or even thought about being a musician until I got a guitar for Christmas one year from my girlfriend. She got me this cheap classical guitar and started writing songs that night. And there's just songs in that guitar. I can't explain it. I still have it. I still play it every night on stage. Used it on the record, that cheap guitar that she gave me so long ago. And I just started writing, and they haven't stopped coming out. So this was a surprise to me.
Obviously, you're pretty good at it. Proof's in the pudding. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I was just telling somebody this story the other day. I was 15, and I listened to music and stuff like that. It was the 80s. I was a new wave kid, and it was weird. I was into new wave and heavy metal at the same time. It was very strange. Really, I was into heavy metal because that's what all my friends were into. There were no other new wavers around our area at the time except me and MTV. But there was a girl, her name was Mary, and she had some legs that I thought were dynamite on a Saturday night. She was really into Durant. She wanted to go see Durant. And so I got us tickets, and we went with a bunch of friends. I'm watching the show, and the bass player, here you go, Finn, the bass player, he was trying to pump the crowd up. And he went to the foot of the lip of the stage, I guess they call it. He put his hand up to his ear. And I saw 15,000 girls lose their shit at the same time. Just went, my 15-year-old brain wasn't thinking, yeah, the guy looks like a model. Of course they're into this guy. All I knew is he had a bass and he evoked that reaction. My world changed. So we got home later that night and my dad was still up. He came in the house, I remember, and I'm like, hey, Pop, what's up? He goes, how was the show? Did you have a good time? And I told him this story about this bass player. And I said, and what I learned is I need a bass, like ASAP. I need to learn to play. And he goes, kid, we've got a grand piano in the front room there. You've never sat at it. I've never seen you show any interest in making music at all. I don't think that's really your thing. He goes, I'm not trying to discourage your dream, but my advice is to find what you're good at. And learn that. Get good at it. Get real good at it. Not to where you're at now, but where you should be at. And I didn't really know what he needed. When he's like, you're pretty good at drawing. If you do it right, you can get a similar reaction. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Dad just doesn't want to get me a bass. That's what that's about. You know what I mean? Anyway, fast forward 8 years. I'm in art school in Boston. Me and some friends, God, we were hopelessly poor. We used to play chess, speed chess on the street to raise extra and going out money. So we were at this bar hanging out, and there were some cute girls in there. And on a whim, I just picked up a cocktail napkin, and I started drawing these gals. And it took about 3 minutes. They were all over our table seeing what I was doing. And, yeah, the old man knew what he was talking about. It worked. It was amazing. And here we are now, 25 years later. It was crazy. But it's crazy. Just major. I can't get over it, Madness. I can't get over it. Music royalty, Miller ain't supposed to just reach out to you on Instagram and then you're flying to Nashville. I mean, that ain't how it normally goes. It's crazy. So but folks, what that should tell us all is it could happen. So obviously, here it happened to these guys and gal. Don't give up on that dream. It could happen. Put your shit on Instagram is what I'm saying. Whatever worked for them, do that.
Carl found us on Instagram too. Curtain Call's been so good to us. They found us on Instagram. It's really worked for us.
Magnus, you are supposed to be the one reaching out to all these people and trying to get around these gatekeepers and stuff like that. He's now, we just flipped that on its head. The gatekeepers are reaching out to them. That's, how cool is that? It could happen, folks. It did happen. That's amazing. It's amazing. Let's play.
We're very lucky.
Yeah, how cool. I'm excited for you guys. And I'm not even, except being a major fan of the band, involved. But let's play the Christmas Prayer, because Brian really wanted us to play the Christmas Prayer. Now, this is a cool track and a smart track, because it's got the word Christmas in the title. You realize that's going to be on every Christmas compilation. When you look up Alt Christmas on Spotify, there it'll be on one of those playlists and just get played every year for every year. I hear Christmas songs that are from 1942. They're still being played. Yeah. It's amazing.
That's the plan.
It's a smart plan. It's just, yeah. Here it is, folks.
silent tear, it's you I feel instead. No thorn in my side, no foolish pride, no destiny to keep. It's you that I hold in my dreams. Stands, no mislaid plans, no danger so unreal. And when I reach out, it's you that I feel. Christmas prayer.
We're back. That was the Christmas prayer, not the Christmas prayer, just Christmas prayer. Amazing track. Magnus, let me ask you, what's next? You just going to do a stadium theme track like Europe's The Final Countdown, so every major sporting event will play it and just throw money, just shoot money right into your account? Is that kind of the...
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad plan.
Queens, we will rock you. I don't think I've ever seen a hockey match, professional or otherwise, where that wasn't played.
You know what? It's the new version of that. White Stripes, Seven Nation Army is like a huge stadium song all over the world. Isn't that crazy?
And that song, I'm trying to remember, what did that drop for or something like that? It was past the 90s. It was past Josh's, but not by much. Josh's grunge scene is what I was going to say. But no, it was... Was that still like late 90s or early
2000s? 2000s, I think. You can't, 2000s, yeah, it came out 2004 or 5, something like that. But I saw Jack White talking about it, and they asked him, like, what do you think hearing this song sung by tens of thousands of people in soccer matches in Barcelona and hockey matches in Canada? And he goes, it's such an honor because it's... It becomes folk music at that point, and what a thing for your song to enter into that kind of vernacular where people just know it and sing it at a place that they love. That's so awesome. Absolutely. We would love to have an experience like that.
Boy, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's things like that. What's weird is Josh was talking about how he likes Stuart Copeland, who I do as well. But like their big thing is having Every Breath You Take played at every wedding reception I've ever been to, which is weird. I'm like, embrace
the
surrealness of it. But yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird. I've been to some weird wedding receptions, though, and not fun weird, just weird. I was at one where they started going off. The crowd started going off. They were listening to AC/DC, She Shook Me All Night Long, and I look out there, and the bride's dancing with her father. I'm like, the wrong track. You don't need to be dancing to this with your daughter. That's just, I feel very uncomfortable right now. It's not good. It's not good. But people don't know. People don't know. But it is amazing. Do you, for the most part, your crowd, when you've been playing and whatnot, and obviously it's a good crowd. You're playing the whiskey. I know how the whiskey goes. It, usually, they're like, okay, here's 500 tickets. It's up to you to be responsible for them. You better get to selling tickets. There he is. There's Josh's evil twin. And I probably...
So sorry, I don't know what's going on.
I'm telling you, it's his personality, split personality. Now, Josh was worried that you were a serial killer, Magnus. I think Josh has a Smeagol Gollum thing going here. And
I can see that.
He's tried to throw everybody off the scent, but we know it was you, Gollum, who put the crumbs on Samwise. Come on. Almost got away with it. Ladies, Jamie, are you really doing a Lord of the Rings reference for comedy in your show? Yes. Yes, I am. I own it. It's not even good comedy. No, what was I going to say? I don't know. Anyway, Glass is different now. Glass, I watch. I don't know if you guys want to play it. We don't have to or whatnot. It's a fantastic lyric video. Where did Glass come from, Magnus? Even if we don't play it, I'm just curious to know on a personal level.
Glass had been around for a while. I had that music for a long time. And it was when I met Ruby, it was the first thing that she and I worked on. It's got a lot of different parts. It's symphonic in structure. I always envisioned eventually recording it with a full orchestra and sat down and showed it to Ruby. I think it was the first time we actually met and sat down and tried to work on something. And he said, oh, I have something... I think we'd go with that. And she pulls out this poem she had written and just fit over it like a glove and worked so well. So that was the first sign that this might work, this songwriting partnership. And we love the lyric video. It's one of our favorite songs. It's our live closer, usually. We love to end the show with it. It's very cathartic and the crowd going and gets us going. We like to think of it as our cashmere, maybe, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. Do you guys mind if we play it? Because I would love to show it to people.
Absolutely.
Here it is, folks. Check this out. It's Glass. It, like I said, it's a fantastic lyric video. We'll talk a little more about it when we come back. Here it is. Zebra. We are back. Amazing. As I mentioned, it's a fantastic lyric video. I like a good lyric video like this. There's a couple out there. I think they're valid. I love them. I've heard some people bag on lyric videos before. And I don't think anybody I've ever heard bag on a lyric video ain't writing checks for making music videos. You know what I mean? It's very easy to be critical of anything if you ain't paying the freight to do it. Music videos are expensive. And sometimes it's just a lyric video does just as well. There's a Andy Nation lyric video that I just blows me away. It's all set up like a video game. And that's the whole song. I can't remember the name of the track, but it's about a guy stalking another guy, the chess match and all this and that. Yeah. And it's set up like a video game. And you can see the little radar guys coming in. And I'm like, that's a well-done lyric. Glass is a well-done lyric video.
I was not a big fan of lyric videos. I was a little skeptical, but this it turned out really nice. The imagery, the company we hired to do that, they did such a great job. Really fit the song. So I think they're well done,
it's classy like
really
you
work.
Guys are. It's real classy. And I think it works. Now, all these songs are out, right? People can purchase these. They're all on the various iTunes and Spotify and all that kind of stuff.
All the places. Absolutely.
Nice. Nice. Very, very cool. Folks, also, like I mentioned it before, and it's probably floating around your screen right now somewhere around here. I don't know if those links are clickable on the screen, but there's clickable links in the description. Definitely click on those. And when you find something cool, share it with your friends. There's a reason you're friends with your friends. You share common interests. And their chances are real high that what you're into, they're going to be into. Help get the word out. These acts, one thing that COVID taught us all is independent artists in music, film, whatever, got us through that. Because I ran out of shit to watch on TV, and so I started watching YouTube just on random and discovered all kinds of crazy things. I'm not even in the music business. I was watching this YouTube channel called Produce Like a Pro. It was like for home music production. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, if I'm telling tales out of school. Music production's hard, baby. You got to know your shit. I wasn't aware of that before I started watching all this stuff. It's amazing. But no, these guys work really hard to bring us cool and exciting new stuff and support them. Add them to your playlists and shit. That helps with these algorithms and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, you guys are all good at social media. It's got to blow you away to see all these fans you have, like globally and stuff. People in Argentina are digging what you're doing. How cool is that?
Christmas Prayer came out December 6th. It was played on the radio in Sao Paulo, Brazil, multiple times a day, every day in December, and even a little bit after Christmas. And I kept saying to these guys, they're still playing this in Brazil even after Christmas. They must really like this song. That's amazing.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. I had a friend of mine when I was living in Southern California, and he was in a pretty big synth pop band back in the 80s. Life has changed, music has changed and everything. And he was telling me stories. We had to do a show in Mexico City. And it was like the biggest show we'd ever done. He goes, we never got that response in the States. But Mexico City, they loved us and ate it up. I thought it had to be amazing. That was pretty cool. And he goes, it was, but at the same time, we had to do the ginormous meet and greet, meet like 1,500 people, and everybody had something for us to sign. And every time he goes, at that point in my career, I was becoming a little jaded because every poster, every CD I was signing were all bootlegs. And he goes, here's 25 cents I will never see. Here's 25. And he's adding that shit up in his head. And I'm like, yeah, it was time to get out then. Once you start, the fun stops. You got to reevaluate, course correct, you know what I mean? When it becomes a job, and I get it, serious, it is a job. But when it becomes a job you dislike, it's time to shake things up a little bit. Now, Ruby isn't here to answer this question, but I had it prepared. What's it like going on tour with a bunch of guys? Are you guys cool to Ruby when you're on tour? Are you nice to her? You're not smelling Ruby's, up hotel rooms too bad?
Ruby's a sister that we're all super fond of and very protective of, nice. I would say, is good. A good way to put it. We make sure she's cool. And she's cool to hang with, too. And Josh and Finn will be bunking a room together in Austin when we go there next
month. Nice.
This will be the first time they're pairing up, so we'll see how they get along.
I don't know. See, Finn's one of those cats. Look at him. He's got the model looks and everything that you wouldn't expect. But then if you ever sleep in the same area with, probably snores the loudest and whatnot. You're like, he's so small. I didn't understand how that could come out of him. We're coming out of his mouth. It was amazing. I'm kidding, Finn. No, but it'll be cool. So Austin's a cool place, and you've already got the venues booked down and everything?
Yeah, it's a curtain call label showcase thing. We have 5 shows in 4 days in Austin. Nice. That week of South by Southwest. We're really excited. We've been working on it all year and got a new set put together, some new stuff, some stuff we're working on in the studio right now. So come see us in Austin. You'll see some new material before it comes out.
Absolutely, folks. Absolutely. I'm telling you, man, the last time I was in Austin, that 6th Street, they closed the street down. It's just venue after venue, act after act, nightly. I remember I met this gal, and she was crazy. I never seen anybody drink shots like she did. And it turned out we were bullshitting as we're drinking shots. Turns out, she's like, so what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm a painter. Typical response, houses or cars. Depends on how big the check is. I'll paint anything. One of those boring conversations. And then I'm like, so what do? I'm a cop, homicide detective. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I got to get out of here. It's a cop. What the hell?
The fuzz.
The fuzz. We got to go. Nah, she was wild, man. I'm like, if the cops are like that in Austin, Jesus Christ, it's going to be insane. You guys are going to be down there for South by Southwest. That is insane. And you're going to see everybody just walking around and stuff. It's amazing.
Oh, we can't wait. Yeah.
It's amazing. Final question, Magnus, I before I let you guys go, because there's some kid in Hollow or, Council Bluffs, Nebraska, or wherever in the world, you know what I mean, that wants to be Magnus and Finn and Joshua. They want to be where you guys are, and Ruby. They want to be where you guys got the coolest job in the world. They want that. What is your advice to those whippersnappers?
I would say we learned a couple of hard lessons this last year. There's a lot of scammers out there circling the music industry who take advantage of people who don't know the ropes yet, you know?
Right.
Watch yourself. Be careful. Do your research. There's
Magnus,
there's
some... I'm hoping. I don't want to put you on the spot. It happened in the art world as well. And I remember the first time it happened to me, I was telling somebody about it. I'm like, oh, man, it's $1,200. I'll never get back. I'm supposed to be in this book and go to New York and all this shit. And they're like, just be glad it was a $1,200 lesson and not a $1,300 lesson.
Like, yeah,
no, it's very true. And and I haven't made it again. I learned that lesson.
Yeah, Jesus. We learned some lessons this last year. But I think if your heart's in the right place, I think the right people will find you. That's what we've learned. We eventually found the right people, not only each other, but people like Curtain Call and Mr. Miller and folks out in California who really like us and keep inviting us back. So the right people will find you. Just be careful, as I would say, for people starting out. Do your research. If someone makes you an offer, do a little digging. See if it's the real deal.
And it's crazy. If your awareness is... When we were kids, we used to... And except Finn. I don't know. Finn's pretty young. But there was a game we'd play in the car called Punch Buggy. And when you would see a Volkswagen Beetle bug... You punch your sister or something. Not in the face, but like in the arm. Then you wouldn't do it hard. But it was a game. And the interesting thing, when you played that game, you start seeing Volkswagen Beetles everywhere because your awareness was on. You were focused on that. And the same thing in life is true. Once-in-a-lifetime deals, if your awareness is on, happen about twice a week. So when somebody comes start in talking fast and loose and talking much, selling the money, I have found in life you don't have to sell money. Money pretty well sells itself because it's money. But if you come across somebody trying to sell you money, listen to that spidey sense, baby, is all I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
They're out there. And my advice for anybody out there that's listening to this that is a con artist or what, learn a skill, man. Take a learning annex class. Figure something out. You can do way better if you learn a skill. And everybody else, as far as cons and stuff go, greedy people get conned. If you're trying to take a shortcut or something, it doesn't work out usually. Be careful.
But I would say, if you fall for a bad deal or you get taken going, just put it behind you. Okay, I learned that lesson. And that's how we eventually found Curtain Call and those great guys, John and Brian and everyone over there who've been so great to us. But we had to make a couple of mistakes before we found them, and that's okay. We're super
happy. It's dating. I dated some crazy gals. And to be transparent, I'm sure there's a few out there in the world in my past, in my wake, that went, Jesus Christ, that's the most crazy guy I ever came across, you know? But the thing is, like Magnus says, if you date somebody crazy, you don't stop dating after you just say, no, I'll... Not only did Josh have 3 drum kits and we had that whole altar to wherever, and he was putting lipstick on it, and I watch the red flags is what I'm kidding, Josh. And even if he was, there's nothing wrong with that. Josh is okay. Just pick a drum kit, Josh. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying. You're not Neil Peart. You don't need all these, the globe of drums. Peart, excuse me. I will get DMs. Believe me. Angry Canadians. And it doesn't take much these days to make them angry. Wash your mouth out, you filthy gringo. Anyway. Guys, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. I really appreciate it. And thank you for putting some life into the goth scene again, man. I am so impressed. It's such an honor to talk to you guys because you're one of those bands. I'm telling you, I can see it happen in 10 years. I'm going to say, yeah, Voltaire's Ghost. I interviewed him. Remember my podcast? They're like, you're still doing? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you didn't know Voltaire's Ghost. Come on, man. Who else did you have on the show? Def Leppard or somebody? I'm like, no, I did. Here's a copy of the show on YouTube. Great. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You guys are really good at it. And the proof's in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Break a leg at the next show. Is Austin where you guys, South by Southwest, the next venue?
2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Jesus.
So, I know, it's coming. This year is flying. We've been rehearsing since January, and then everyone got sick in January, so a couple weeks missed rehearsal. And so we got a lot of work to do in the next 2 weeks, but we're really excited.
You guys will knock it out of the park. You guys are all real, so good at what you do. Thank you so much for being on. And thank you out there, everybody, for watching and listening and all of that. Support our advertisers. They're carrying the freight for us. And we like them a lot. Hey, speaking of which, on advertising, if you go to an advertiser's website anymore, they each have a space to put in how you hear about us. Put in Rocks, R-O-X, or the guy with the hair who knows the cool rock stars, has them on a show. So just what that does with small businesses, it tells them where to keep sending checks to. And internet economics is trickle down. So when they get paid, it goes eventually into us. I can buy a soup bone for my crazy dog. So we appreciate that. We appreciate that. We don't give her soup. That dog is so spoiled. Anyway, she's probably allergic to him. Love the breed. All I'm saying, if you're getting a Shar Pei, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of... She's at the end of 4,000 years of genetic modification. There's nothing more you could do to that dog genetically to make it weird. Love her to death, but yeah. Anyhow. Okay, guys, we will see you next time. Have a great one. You guys have a good weekend. They're going to have everybody rehearsing.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Come see us in Austin, everyone. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
This is
been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.